Okay, fine. So Shazali called Sarki. I thought I would join this with Mechan and Zayigabra and then realize there's a lot on shoes. So let's go. Okay? The Gemara says, okay? In the order in the Gemara, first you have, right, when you start walking, essentially, right? You say, right, I'm Eichem Mitzad Gaver. Right, when you put on your shoes, you say, Rav Shazali Kol Tarki. Right? Now, the Rif has the opposite order. Kisi and Misane, Omer Baruch Shazali Kol Tarki, Kimahalech, Omer Baruch Eichem Mitzad Gaver. When you put on your shoes, you say, Shazali Kol Tarki. When you walk, you say, Eichem Mitzad Gaver. The Rambam has the same order. Shalovish Na'alav, Mevarach Shazali Kol Tarki, Shazali Kol Tarki. I don't want to get too much into the gear stuff, right? Like the Rif. The Rif and the Rama have you did. The tour, on the other hand, quotes the Gersa of the Gemara. So which is it? So the Bach notes that the tour follows the Gersa we have in our Gemara. The Rif and the Rush have the opposite Gersa. Okay? And he writes that the order in all of our sidurim is Hameichem Mitzadei Gaver, and then Shazali Kol Tarki, like our Gemara. Okay? And therefore, Alkein in Lashana Masses Sidurim Shibi Adinim Abatinu Akdoshim. And therefore, you should do that. Ba'achrav Nagu Lashana Alpi Sidurim and Vazim Echadash Kol Chala Fi Ratzona Velo Shopi Agdolu Masher Ba'aretz Ba'atidin Lisin Lahamed Adin. And then in very harsh language he says, and now our Sidurim have the opposite. They have Shazali Kol Tarki and then Hameichem Mitzadei Gaver. And the printers did this without asking the Gedolim, so they will be judged for their horrible actions. Okay? Find their sources over here. We'll just get them. There's two pages. Now, I always find it funny what people get worked up about enough to say that you are going to pay the price in hell. You know, for him, it was switching the order of Hameichem Mitzadei Gaver and Shazali Kol Tarki. For the Aruch HaShulchan, it's not washing for Sudat Shlishit in the winter, which is why I'm very makbid to always have three meals of bread even when I'm not hungry, because I don't know why that was the fight he wanted to pick, but I don't need to go to hell for that. There are better reasons, but that is not the one I want to, that is not what I want to die on. So he's very makbid. He thinks the proper gear is the Mechan Ritzadei Gavir. And then Shazali Kol Tarki. However, Shulchan Aruch follows the position I think most of us have our Sidurim, which is the opposite of the Gemara, which is Shazali Kol Tarki, Kishaholech, Yivarech, Hameichem Etzadei, Gaver. The Magen Avraham, though, quotes this on Machloket, and he says, don't get so worked up about it. You know what the difference is? The difference is when do you put on shoes? Or he says, in the time of the Gemara, people didn't wear shoes for everything. So you walked around a lot, right? You walked around your house, no shoes at all, right? You only put on your shoes when you left the house. And we know that from the Gemara, because you would wear it out, right? So in your house, you would never wear shoes, right? You would only wear shoes out of the house, right? When you need them. So therefore, which did you do first? Did you walk or did you put on shoes? You walk, right? Nowadays, right?
Not now.
Right, so now he's saying in his time, people put on shoes because they wear in the house, right? And therefore, you would put on shoes sometimes before you walked out of the house or walked around, right? Now, according to this, you might wonder, right? Because the answer you'll get here might be different depending where you live. If you live in Nagid in Toronto, right, you learn very early, never wear shoes in the house, right? Never wear shoes in the house, right? You're not allowed. It's very insulting. Right? Like, you take off your shoes when you get in the house. That was, like, one of the first things I learned when I went to Toronto. Was take off your shoes when you walk in the house. It's just, right? It's just what you do. Right? It's, like, doesn't matter. Like, you're, you know, just, you know, make sure you don't have, like, holes in your socks or something. You know, like, you know, it's not like you will see your socks. Right? It's just normal because it's snowy and rainy so much of the year that that just becomes a cultural norm. And it's, you're really fancy, right? In your house, almost everyone will, right? A lot of people have slippers. And if you're really fancy, you have guest slippers that you leave there. Right? I went to some really fancy houses where, like, yeah, you left your shoes and you went to a special closet with all types of guest slippers and you can choose, take what you want, right? So there, it really is true, right? That like in the Gemara, first you walk, and then you put on shoes, right? As opposed to in New York, where you might, right? You might, they're not shoes, right? But you might put on shoes, or you might not, right? You might wear shoes in your house, right? You might put them on first in the morning, right? That's possible, right? You might keep them by your bed and just put them on right before, right? It's just, you might not, right? Now, of course...
Why would you draw the line at shoes not possible?
Well, let's get to the importance of shoes. Let's talk about that, right? So, again, do I think it's the biggest deal? No, I fundamentally think Magen Avraham is probably right, right? Is that whether you think that this is about your actual experience of life, in which case, obviously, whatever comes first, do, right? But even if you talk about Seder Olam, it might just be. You have to look at what the Seder Olam is. How do people experience it? So, again, I mean, I don't know how much it matters, right? But the fact that, right, it might matter, right? According to Bach, it really does matter. According to Magen Avraham, it doesn't seem to matter too much. I don't know, right? I could see an argument for someone saying that if you live in a culture where, like, you know, live in Toronto, you should dafka, even the minhag ha'olam, right, precedes hameichan mesadei gaver too. Especially called Sarki, if you live in New York, yesh ve'yesh, right? So if you're making a seder olam, I could see it going both ways. I don't know, right? Okay, but fundamentally, I don't know how much is here. Maybe when we get to the conceptual things, there'll be more here, but fundamentally, it might just be what was normal. Right? And again, it might depend, right? If you have dirt floors, it's different than when you have, right, carpeted floors, you know? And if you have, again, there's also a difference, I think, let's say in Israel versus America, right? Simply because in Israel, carpet is less of a thing, right? When you have tiled floors and they're cold, you're much more likely to wear your shoes in the house, right? When you have carpeted floors, right? Right? Unless you have heated floors, in which case, take off your shoes to the best, right? It's one of those things we regret, because heated floors are not much more expensive than regular heating. You just need to know to put it in, you know, heat comes from the floor. And one of the things we regret. Okay, fine. So that's just a little bit on the order, and therefore the connection to Mechem and Tzadei Gavra. But let's now move to what does it mean. So what is the source for it? So the Avudraham has three sources, right? Now, Josh is like, oh God, this is going to take forever. Three sources, and only have one source takes forever. It's actually not true. His sources are actually, this, I think, very straightforward, but very insightful, okay? So the Avudraham says, what is the source of this bracha? Kishilovesh min alav mevarech shasali kol tzarki. So first of all, he says that is not from the Gemara. It's not from, Sukkim is from the Gemara. Al shame. So he quotes the Gemara in Bava Batra, Samach. It's a mistake. He says Samach on the basis, not Samach. Whatever. Sorry. Oh, did I not correct it? No, whatever. Samach on the basis. Okay? It comes from the Gemara. Kol Tzarki comes from the Gemara. And then the idea of Kol Tzarchecha comes from a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. V'anachon nechor etzim min alavanon Kol Tzarchecha. And then, Val Shem, Asali, Yerachayel Hazeh. Okay, so he says the idea of Kol Tzarki comes from a Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim and a Gemara in Bava Basra, and Sha'asali comes from a Pasuk in Dvarim. V'hatam lebrachazu, and the reason for this bracha, Shekol Zman Shuyaches, as long as you're barefoot, Eino Yachol Latzeh, you can't leave the house. V'lasot Tzarchav, and do what you need to do. It's tzarchei beito and what your family needs. But kevin shalavet min alav kilu nasalo kol tzarchav. And once you put on shoes, if everything is done. Okay, so let's look at what he means. And dafka here, I think it's pretty straightforward when you look at the sources. Okay, so let's look at them in order. First is the Gemara in Bava Basra Samach Amud Bet. Now you probably know the Gemara in Bava Basra Samach Amud Bet, but you probably don't know you know the Gemara in Bava Basra Samach Bet. Okay. So the Gemara in Bava Basra, the end of the third parak, tells you that brings a whole bunch of people that for Churban Habayit, they were going to stop eating meat, stop drinking wine, stop building houses, everything, right? The Gemara at some point says, you can't do that. You can't live like that. So what should you do? Elkach Amru Chachamim. Sad Adam et Beito Batid. You should plaster your house with plaster. Umishayer bo davar muat. And then leave a little bit. Right? Leave a little bit plastered, right? You know that little box of unplastered, right? This is not a secret. You know about this. The unpainted part of your house, right? Vikama, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Lama. Amar Rav Chisra, can I get a pet? Right? An Amar and Amar by the door, opposite the door. And then the Gemara says, Osa Adam Kol Tarchei Tzu'uda, you should make everything you need in a meal, Mishaya Gavar Mu'at, but leave a little bit off. Umayni, Amar Apapa, Kasa the Harasana. Okay? It is a fish hat. Osha Isha Kol Tarchei Te'a, a woman can put on all of her jewelry, Mishayeret Gavar Mu'at, and leave a little bit. Mayhi, what is it? Amar Rav.
Did it mess up the recording? No, I hope not. I hope it didn't mess up the recording.
I hope not. This has happened before that it like ruins the recording. It's gonna be very, very halal. Okay. What?
You want to double check whether the recording?
No, no, meaning it's on the app. Hopefully it'll work. If it doesn't, you know, it does what it does. Okay. So then the Gemara says, well, what does it mean to leave off some of your jewelry? Okay, whatever it is. Now, someone tell me, what does kol tzarki mean in this Gemara? It doesn't mean shoes. It definitely doesn't mean shoes.
What you need, but less a little bit of
instruction. Right. See, that's not I'm sure, right? Kol tzarki, see, that's the question, right? Is it means you everything minus. But what's the problem? Are you going to be starving after this?
No.
No. So one way of reading it the way Chaim is, which is shoes are an extravagance. Right? That's one way of reading it, which is have a meal, but don't, right, subtract something so it's not extravagant. Have all the extravagances minus one. Right? Or you could read it as saying, no, this is what you normally would have, and take something away. Now, what does that imply? Right? Meaning, either that shoes are an extravagance, or they are, they're a need, and you're actually just to feel a loss. Right? Right? But whatever it is, the Gemara is saying, you do everything minus. Now, is that because your norm is extravagant? Right? And therefore, shoes are extravagant? Or is it, there are parts of your normal life that are really necessary, but not as necessary as other things? Right? They're not an extravagance, but they're, right? But shoes are, right? That's the feeling, right? Those are the two possibilities you get from this Gemara. Which is interesting, because which one does he seem to think? I think the Abu Jaham thinks the latter.
You need them.
You need them, right? And without them, you're going to feel the loss. Right? Why do I think he says that? You can survive, but you'll feel the loss. Why do I think that? Because he says, right, without them, you can't do anything. Is that true? You can't go out with shoes? You can. You'll just be really uncomfortable. Right? And that's the point. Right? I think that's what he's getting from this Gemara. Okay? The second thing he gets it from is Divrei HaYamim. Where Divrei HaYamim just says, V'anachnu nichot eitzim min alavon techol tzorchecha. I don't think there's any kiddush here, which is, Chiram says to, I think it's Shlomo, is that what this is? Whatever it is. It's, we will get all the wood that you need. Okay? Whatever you need. Right? It's the thing. Kol tzorchecha means whatever you need. The third proof he brings, though, I think is very important. Okay? But he says, okay, so that's where kol tzarki comes from. But what does sha'asali mean?
Literally, you
can
mean.
What?
Literally,
very good. So what does he say? He takes it from asali at achayel hazeh. And here, I think, he's making a very important theological point. Okay? Watch. So this is from Dvarim Perikhet. So I'm going to run through it, okay? The Pasuk took him say, Kol mitzvah shar nechin etav chayom zishmun la'asot l'man techinu v'ritem v'atem v'yishtem et ha'aretz esher nishvadun el avatechem. Do all the mitzvot so that you'll live and you'll might have a lot in the land that I am giving to you, that I promised you. V'zah chartad kol aderech asher oli chadun el echa zhar v'em shunam v'amin bar l'man anot chal l'nasot cha. And you will remember the path that God took you in the desert for 40 years to make you, to afflict you and to test you, to know whether you will go with God and you'll keep the mitzvah. He afflicted you and he made you hungry. And why did he give you, why did he make you hungry and then give you the man? To teach you what? That man doesn't live by bread alone, he lives by God. Meaning, the Pesukim can tell you, what was the experience of the Midbar supposed to teach you? That you are dependent on God. And then it tells you the whole story. Right, your clothes didn't wear out, etc. Okay? Why is this important for you to remember? Because you're about to come into, right, so skip down to Pesukim. You're about to go into a very wealthy land. Good. And what is going to happen? Skip down a pasuk. God warns you. You will eat and you'll be satiated and you will bless God. And then what? He shamer lecha. Three lines from the bottom. He shamer lecha pen. What is the ultimate? The Torah says this many times. What is the greatest fear that God has when you go into Eretz Israel? You'll forget him and say what? He shamer lecha pen yishkach ad Adonai. Be wary, maybe you'll forget God and his mitzvah, because what will happen? Because maybe you'll be satiated, and you'll build nice houses and live there. Your animals, your money, you'll have a lot. And your wealth will lead you to what? Second to last line. V'ram libavecha. Your heart will become haughty, and you'll forget God who took you out of Egypt. And you forget God who took care of you, gave you man. And what will you say? The bolded line. Va'amarta bilvavecha, kochi va'otsem yadi asali erachayel hazeh. And you will say, my hand and my strength made all this wealth for me, made all this success for me. So what does the Avudraham say? Sha'asa li kol tzarki. What is it doing? Or sha'asita li kol tzarki. What is it doing?
Reminding you
of the number one lesson of the Torah, which is, don't say, Kochi va'otsem yadi asali erachayel hazeh, that I did everything for myself. Right? So here, I don't think I need to look at Mefarshim. I think his point is very clear. Right? It's very simple. You take shoes, which are either an extravagance or that thing you could live without, but you really need. And as you say that, you say, I remember that my, whether it's extravagance or it's that thing you could live without but you don't really want to, either way, it's that thing that is just expresses just a little bit of wealth, right? Because it's the thing you could live without if you really, really needed to. When you wear those, what do you need to remember? That God gave you wealth and not you. Right? And where does he get it from? From the pasuk, where we're worried that specifically when you get wealth, that's where you're going to turn to God and say, my strength did the success. You flip it around, and according to him, you say, Asi Asali or Asitali. You made it for me. So I think the Avudraham is a very simple shot in his bracha. Shoes are that, again, either they're an extravagance or they're at least the closest to an extravagance that you still need, which is, I think, what he actually thinks. But they're still not as necessary as, like, opening your eyes, right? It is more of a, right, it's something that you could live without, but you just can't. The alternative, right? And that's when it's a little bit of wealth, and that's when you say, God, it was you. The alternative, right, is that what he's saying is not that, or not only that, which is, if we go back to the Avudraham, what does the Avudraham say? Why are shoes necessary? Because they enable you to go and work and do what you need to do. right? They enable you to leave your house, to work in the field, to do all that stuff, which means they symbolize your ability to produce. And what did the Psukim say? When you produce successfully in Israel, what are you going to fear? That's when you're going to forget that it's God. Right? So either way, by invoking these Psukim, what he's doing is it's something about shoes that forces you to remind yourself that God provides for you. You don't provide for yourself. But then I think you can take it two ways. Either the focus, based on the Gemara and Bava Basra, is that shoes are either as high as it is extravagant or slightly less fancy. That which is necessary but not as necessary as other things, and therefore it's sort of wealth-like. And that's when you need to remind yourself that God produced it. Or focusing on the second half of the Abu Draham, which is shoes are what enable you to go to work. And since when you work, as the Psukim say, that's when you're likely to make money and attribute it to your own success, that's when you have to remember it comes from God. Right? So of all things, I think the Abu Draham's interpretation by quoting the three Psukim is actually very clear what he wants from you, why it is by shoes, you specifically have to invoke that pasuk of God did it, not me. I didn't do it for myself. Either because this is somewhat extravagant, and therefore it's warning you about wealth, or it's because shoes allow you to work, and it's reminding you that even though you're working, that doesn't mean it all comes from you. As much effort as you admittedly put in, you didn't do it by yourself, you did it with God's help. Okay? That, I think, is the Abu Draham's understanding of this bracha in a nutshell. Okay? The Reuben Yakar has one more source. Okay? The Reuben Yakar in 12 says, Sha'asali kol tarki, klomar, kishuhu arum mimin alim, afil lavush v'chagur v'lavash mechmasayim, and yachal lecha v'ashuk l'knot tzaracha. You can't go shopping, even if you have clothes on, if you don't have shoes. V'achav tzu lavush min alav, lavush kol tzarcha. So when you put on your shoes, you can. V'tzarch l'varach al shem asali l'chayel azeh. And he quotes the same pasuk. Okay? But then he quotes one more. Okay? And this also connects to the pasuk of V'natan li lechem le'achol u'veged lilbosh v'amar ki lo e'ezavcha. Now where does he get this from? What pasuk is he quoting here? So look at 13. Vayidar Yaakov neder lemor imije Elohim imadi ushmarani baderach hazeh asher anochi holeich v'natan li lechem le'achol uveged lubosh v'shavti v'shalom el bein avi v'haya Adonai li le'lohim. What does that mean? Right, God said, right, Yaakov promises that if you give me food and clothing and I come back home, then God will be my God. Okay, this is when Yaakov is leaving, running away, right? He makes a promise to God. If you support me, you take care of me, then you will be my God. So what is the reason Yaakov seems to be adding to this? And I think this builds on the Abraham. I don't think it's so fair. Right, what does it add? So what is the upshot of all of this? When you recognize that God provides for you, he takes it one step further. Then you commit to God. Right? Right, I think that's what he adds, is that by invoking Yaakov, he's saying that not only are you supposed to remember that God is doing something for you, but this leads you to commit to God. Yeah? Okay? Again, I think it's actually pretty straightforward what this bracha means. Okay. Let us do, now, you'll say, there's still 2.5 more pages. It's not that simple.
Shalom.
Okay, next point is, so we've talked about the symbolism of shoes. What happens if it's a day when you don't wear shoes? Like Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, right? Let's talk halacha for a second. So what's the halacha? What would you think?
Well, if it's a non-leather shoe, then you should still be a bracha.
What?
If it's a non-leather shoe, you should still be a bracha.
Well, maybe, but those are not shoes. That's the whole point.
But there's shoes that are designed that you're able to walk to get things that you need.
Oh, sorry. So before we get to that, I want to do one more girsa, right? Sorry, Rabbi Yona has a different girsa. And his girsa is, Vasher lo chiter mitzorche klum. What's his girsa? That you didn't make me lack any of my needs. Right? That's his girsa. Okay? Now that's a different perspective, because what does that mean? Right? It seems to be for him, it's the capstone, right? That because it's the last thing, that right, that's right, focusing on, right, the cold Starkey point. Right? Why is it cold Starkey? Because once you have shoes, you're not lacking anything. Right? Okay. So now look at Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, and he notes that Rabbeinu Yonah also says, that you can't make the bracha unless you get hana. And therefore, the Gra Paskin, you don't say it. You don't wear shoes. You don't benefit. So he says, why are you allowed to make the, so why do we make the bracha? So his first suggestion is that what? If you say that Shasa we call Tarki is really Shulokhiser Mitarchikum, what does that mean? It's really on everything. It's just the shoes is what? It's the Maka the Patish for everything you have. So then if you were to say it earlier, would it be a bracha matkallah? Not really, because it's aladerek. Right? Like, you're on the way to it. You just haven't done it yet. So if you're going to put your shoes on later, after Yom Kippur, it's still, you benefited somewhat. Right? If you focus on not shoes itself, but on shoes as the cap, so then you benefited on other things. And therefore, you might say that since you got some benefit and you're going to wear your shoes later, and maybe even according to the Rambam, the main argument, to make the bracha. Obviously, what's the other reason to make the bracha? Mizobaz Mabramah, Mizob Seder Ha'olam, and even Yom Kippur, okay, fine. Right? Or what you're saying is that shoes don't necessarily mean leather shoes, and the standards for, right, which is what you want to say, which is that the standards for shoes in Yom Kippur, which are enjoyable shoes, and the standard for shoes on the bracha, which are functional shoes, don't necessarily overlap, and therefore if I function, right, which is, I think, admittedly another way to take it. The Big Day Yesha, I just gave you one summary of it, who notes that there is the minhag of some people not to say it in Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. But he says, according to our minhag, it's fine. Because what are you really doing? You're thanking God for being good to us. Right? Again, following this idea that shoes are just the end of a process rather than their own. Okay? The Birkei Yosef as well I gave you, who says, right, so one reason to defend it is that it's really a bracha on all enjoyment. Shoes are just the capstone. And the other is what the Birkei Yosef says, which is that the minhag is to say the bracha al-harov, right, al-seder ha-olam. And if you follow that, then again, it doesn't matter that you're not wearing shoes. Then the Birkei Yosef quotes a compromise position, which is, and this is a very interesting compromise position, you don't make the bracha on Tisha B'Av, but you do make it on Yom Kippur. Why? Because on Tisha B'Av you're not wearing it to feel the loss. On Yom Kippur you're wearing it because you don't need it. Right? That you're supposed to feel like we're spiritual or something like that, which again is taking a particular view of it, right? Yes, I know. That's the problem. But he says that's the agadic approach of what the Inuyim are, right? Is that being honest, you don't need it. Okay, fine. So there are different minhagim on that. Now, next small point. What about new shoes? When you buy new shoes, should you make the bracha?
Why not?
No, like you already have shoes on, you buy new shoes, you make it then. So here's a very interesting shuva. Halacha Ksano, Rabbi Yaakov Chagiz was asked, Sheila, Hakone Kova, if you buy a hat, or Avnei Chadash, or a belt, Im Yivarech Mova Voker, do you make the bracha of Ozer Yisrael B'Gvura, of Ozer Yisrael B'Tivara? Shuba, Efter Yivarech Mekova Ozer Yisrael B'Avnei Ozer Yisrael, Amar Ameniach Nirli D'Shem V'Lo Shem U'Malchot. He says, I think you should, but I'm not sure if to make it without a bracha. Right? When you buy a new... Without Shem U'Malchot, meaning without Hashem Hashem. Right? To say Baruch Atah, right? Ozer Yisrael B'Gvura, when you get a new belt. Okay? So he doesn't talk about shoes explicitly. But the Gilyon HaShas, Yosef Engel, says, okay, but what would he say about shoes? L'divrei halachas tanur hanal, im kein dekonim minalim chadashim, ikanami l'sapukit yivar ekstrasali kol tzarki. According to this, maybe when you buy new shoes, you should say, Shazali Zal Karki. When you buy new clothes, you should say, Malbish Arumim. Aval, be'emen, ein sveiko, nire, klaudin, lovado, chiyav rach, hashlishka v'shas. So first you reject it because don't make up a new bracha. But then he admits that, and in Yerushalmi it does sound like if you buy new clothes, you say, Malbish Arumim. Okay? But he still rejects it. And he says, even if the Gemara says it by Malbish Arumim, so it says it by Malbish Arumim. So he just rejects it on a technicality. Do you want to try to reject it fundamentally? But he rejects it on a technicality. There is no bracha. Do you want to reject it on a more fundamental ground? Okay, go. What would you say? So I would say a few things. First of all, it's on Seder Ha'olam. It's not really on buying shoes, right? It's on what shoes represent, right? And even if you think it's on wearing shoes, even according to the Rambam, as we saw, it might be shoes because of what they represent, right? It's the wearing of shoes, the first thing in the morning, right? Even according to the Rambam, where we argue that it's not the act itself, it's what the act triggers. So you do have to make the bracha on the act, but still, right? He seems to be assuming that it's just about wearing shoes, as opposed to putting on shoes in the morning as... Right, and what it represents, that's what I said, the simple shot is that, right, whatever you think it is, the reason you make this bracha code is it symbolizes. Within that framework.
I would say that you don't need to.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Once you look at that, I just think this whole discussion is real. Okay, so what we've seen so far is, to review, it's either on extravagance or on that last thing which is necessary, right, or that which enables you to do the work. Why does that require Sha'asali Kol Tzarki as the antithesis of Asali Dechayel Azeh? Either because wealth or working and making money is when you're most likely to forget God. And shoes, which either represent extravagance or that which is not necessary, that which enables you to work, force you to remember that God is there for you. The Reuven Yakar, by invoking Yaakov, adds a level to it, which is, and that should bring you to covenant with God. Point two. Point three, do you actually need to be wearing shoes? Machloket about Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. First of all, is it Al Seder Olam or not? And even if it is on Seder Olam, is it possible that it's not shoes itself? It's what shoes coming at the culmination of a process, so maybe you can say it even without, or as Josh said, maybe it's the difference between the standards are different between functional shoes where you could wear, right, like, you know, our sneakers or something. Right, and halachic shoes for the purpose of inui, they might be different standards. And then what about buying new shoes? Again, I think the simple shot is the reason you don't make it is not just because we can't make a bracha, because that's not what this is about. It's not about shoes. It's about what shoes represent, when you put them on in the morning, right? And that's a different story. Okay? Now, the last series of things here is, okay, but what is so special about shoes, right? Whether it's shoes per se or shoes at the culmination of a process, what is it about shoes that's where you get also lead called Sarki, which whatever you want. What? So Abu Draham gave one explanation, very good, and that's basically what the Lebush says as well. Look at 20. Kishiyino minalav, when you put on your shoes, hayalovar shasli called Sarki, shechevan sheyesh lalda minalav, beraglav, harehu mucham, malechet, v'chol asher yirza, v'zeu called Sarki. Now you can do whatever you need. That's all, right, like the Abu Draham. A second possibility, which you find, I gave you three mafarshim to say this, is that it's the inverse. It's not just that you need them, but it's that not having shoes is particularly disgraceful. And therefore, you feel like you're lacking. So the Archa Shulchan says, Atam de'ein lecha meguna me'olet arum v'yachet. The most embarrassing thing to do is to walk around naked and barefoot. And therefore, we have a bracha, malvish arumim, and shatzali tzokar, keep one on clothes and one on shoes. Right, it's not the positive, it's the negative. Okay. Chachmat Shlomo says this as well. But focusing specifically on shoes, he notes that the Gemara says, Olam yimtar adam kol mashiyeshlo v'yikne min alim l'raglav. Should always sell whatever you have to buy shoes. Ulkach, shiroi shiyesh on the name, v'yintar kol mkor kol mashiyeshlo. He says, the Gemara says, shoes are so important that you should sell everything for shoes, because otherwise, how are you going to work? How are you going to, right? So he says, if you have to sell everything you own to buy shoes, then once you have shoes, you can keep everything you have. Right? So it's not the positive. It's just that shoes are so important that you would need to invest a lot to get it. And now you don't. You can keep everything else because you have it. The Gur Aryeh, which is the Maharal, also says something like this. I'll just summarize it for you. He goes through all discussion of right, those psukim in Dvarim. And he says, shoes, the pasuk says that God made sure that your feet didn't swell. Right? So he says, what does that show you? The shoes aren't a positive need. They're a negative need. Without shoes, it might hurt your feet. Right?
Yeah.
And that's why he says, that's why Malbish Arumim, so right, what he says is, listen, shoes are only unique in the following way. Malbish Arumim, clothes are valuable. Shoes, none of the shoes are valuable. It's hard to not have shoes. And therefore he says, Shazali Solkarki, Dafka isn't a rarefied, like, wow, I have shoes. It's the opposite. It's, oh, you gave me what I need. Shoes is like, you did not give me shoes. But we don't say that as a process. So what do? You say, Shazali Solkarki, I can get everything I need. Right? So all three are focusing on this negative, either because it's particularly disgraceful to not have shoes, right? Or shoes are necessary and therefore you would have to sell everything else. But, right, it's a positive that comes from a negative. So it really is utterly called sarki. By having shoes, I'm allowed to keep the rest of my property. Right? But they're all focusing on the negative, right? The Gur Aryeh says, no, it's really just a shoes. We just have shoes because, like, you don't want to get punctured in your feet. Like, I don't care what shoes I have. No. Right, obviously this is a different culture when people have, you know, a million pairs of shoes, and it really is a positive. Right, but he says Shazali Kol Sarki isn't this grand thing, which is what you get from, let's say, the Chachmat Shlomo, even from the negative formulation. No, it really is just, it's not something I need, it's something I need to not have. I need to not, whatever, I need to not have. I need to not have. There we go. I need to not have. Right, and that's Shazali Kol Sarki. Okay. But there are many people who say, right, and according to that, this is really similar to the Chayadam, which is, if you skip to 25, he says, yeah, shoes are just not important. That's why it's Shazal the Goldzarki. And he says, Atam nirli kim nemer al melech echad shesu akol bar. So in the Chayiv Ezechel, echaser bo shum davar prati, akol nemer al ro. V'chein zeh in zeh shedach gomor levarach akol. You just say, yeah, he has everything. Right? That's like, okay, like nothing is particularly important. You have everything. Right? It's not that this is the capstone. It's like, okay, you have everything. Right? So one way of taking it is that it actually positively enables you to do everything. Right? Which is the Lavush. The opposite extreme is, whatever, it's not so important, so like, right, you need to not have it. Right? According to the Chachmat Shlomo, no. Right? His first daya is, no. It's, right, for the Aruch HaShulchan, it's disgraceful to not have it. Right? Or the Chachmat Shlomo, if you don't have shoes, you have to sell everything, and therefore, Shasali calls Turkey. I don't have to sell everything, right? Which highlights its importance. In a second, now there's a whole group of people who say it's symbolic in different ways. But no, it's not just what they enable you, but shoes are symbolic, and that's why they're so important. So, Shlomo Kluger in a second, Perush, gives a remez. This is source 24. And he says, I'll come right in. Right? Chazal say you have to bless on the good and the bad. And that's what Shasali Kol Sarki is teaching you. That I'm blessing God for the good and the bad, for everything he's given me. And he says, there are days, Chas V'Shalom, Ra'a, where there's bad, and you say, Shasali Kol Sarki. Right? But he says, how can you say that? Right? Shasali Kol Sarki seems to be good and bad, but how can you bless God for bad? So he says, Valkarcha Omer Diyama Rahi Tova. By saying you make a bracha on the good and the bad, and by saying Shasali Kol Sarki on the good and the bad, what you're really saying is that everything, when you get down to it, is really good. For whatever reason, it brings it Olam Haba. Why by shoes? Because he says, listen, if I don't have shoes, I'm going to stay at home. Right? If I have shoes, I'm going to act. He says, bad things happen. Why? Because I'm living my life, right? bad things happen as you live your life. And as your shoes represent that when I'm going to go out and do things and bad things might happen, that's part of life, right? That's the way things are. And therefore, shoes are symbolic because that's when I say I'm going to go out into the world and do things, right? Mitzvot, averot, live my life, right? That's when bad things are part of the package, right? So the time when I remind myself to bless God for the good and the bad because everything is really good is specifically when I put on my shoes and say, okay, I'm going to go live life with all of its vicissitudes, with everything that comes with it, right? That's what I say, she'also be called darky. Everything you give me is worth blessing because it is good. Okay? The Kliyakar takes a similar approach, right? Not like this, but the Kliyakar commenting, and this is a quote from the Rosh Humaner in the Olam Tamid, says as follows, Yaakov, when he gets his bracha, right? Esav says, Yesh li rav, I have a lot of money. And what does Yaakov say? Yesh li kol, I have everything. What does he learn from that? What does it mean to say, I have everything? The approach of a tzaddik is to realize he has what he needs. And therefore, shoes are the symbol of our contentment with our life. Okay, why shoes? Probably for all the reasons we've talked about. But that's what he thinks also the kol sarki means. The emphasis is kol, is that even though I don't have everything, I relate to it as if I have everything because I'm happy with what I have. This doesn't quite explain shoes, but it explains kol. So the Gra and the Shalah both say, no, it's not just, it's specific to shoes. But what's the symbolism? Dominion. Okay? Is dominion. So the Gra says, because the Pasuk in Tehillim says that kol shel tachat raglav, right? How do we express control throughout Tanakh? That, right? Everywhere you walk, you are a controller, right? Everything is under your feet. And therefore, he says, what shel tzili kol tzarki? That all of creation was given under the dominion of man. And since putting something under your foot is the symbolic, I own it, right? You're saying the bracha to indicate shel tzili kol tzarki, that everything in creation is under the dominion of man. And the Shalah says the same. The Shalah is a little bit more, I gave it a little bit more mystical, right, which is that there's four types of creations, right, domain, somea, right, Bale Chaim, and Medaber, right, and man is on top of all of them, again, Shalzali Kol Tzarki, right, same idea, but specifically focusing on the different types of creation. Okay. Right, and then I gave you from the Neisachar a little story. Okay, you can look at it there. I gave you one parish who just said this is really just a technicality. Which is that, listen, why is it called Tarcha? Because since when you touch your hand, your shoes, you can't make a bracha. It's the bracha you have to make last after you've washed your hands, because before you put on your shoes, right, you haven't touched anything dirty, so in theory you can make the other bracha. But your shoes, because you're always going to have to make a bracha, or you're always going to have to wash your hands again once you touch your shoes, right, it's always going to come last. And therefore, Shazali calls Tarcha because it's at the end. Why is it at the end? Because you have to wash your hands after you touch your shoes. Very technical. Great. Okay. Rav Kook, last source, says, Kishadam Markish Asma Omeid Bin Mehuto V'Chayav Yodeo V'Evoror Shekol Mashu Tzarech L'Tovato Asa L'Hashem Yitbarach. When you stand up, you realize that God, everything was for your goodness. Yotamu Chachalam Ein Adel Chal Bein HaChesronot Bein Yitronot. There's no differences between your lacks or your what you were given. Kulam Yitzrachem Shalav Adam. They're all necessary for man. And everything you need was given to you by your father. right? It's right. We thank God for everything we have physically, spiritually, and that's what you say with a Shas Ali called Sarki. Okay? He doesn't really explain why shoes of all things, right? But again, it could just be that it's the cap of everything else. Okay, so let's just summarize what we saw. Fine. So, simple shot. What is this? Bracha, according to Abu Draham, either it's on extravagance, or it's the thing, the last thing you need, or it's what enables you to work. All of those moments are when you have to remind yourself that things are from God, hence, Sha'asali kol tzarkei, not kol kivat zimyazi, asalera chayel azeh. The Reben Yakar adds that you, by invoking Yaakov's bracha, that also leads you to commit yourself to God. Then we got into the question of, is it on wearing shoes and what it represents, or is it shoes per se, and therefore on new shoes, which is the reveal to angle. The question of, is the girsa, how much is it really about shoes, how much is it symbolic, how much do we pass in the Rambam, how much do we pass in Seder Olam, Nafimina Kishabav, and Yom Kippur, or possibly, as Josh said, distinguishing between shoes for the purpose of Inui and shoes for the purpose of this bracha. Right? And then we said, okay, what is so special about shoes? The possibility, it's what enables you to work. It's in the negative. It's particularly disgraceful you to not have it. You have to sell everything, right? You have to get your shoes. That's why it's also called Sarki. Or, no, it's framed in the negative because it's not so important. Or because shoes are really about not having shoes, right? Or no, shoes really are very important. Either they're symbolic because since they enable you to go live life, that's when it's time to thank God for the good and the bad, for everything your life brings for you. Or specifically, shoes, since it's what you step with, it shows dominion over the world, which is the Gra and the Shalah. Or it really isn't that important, it's just the last thing you put because you have to wash your hands afterwards. Great. Most of those explanations really seem something unique about shoes. However, as we saw, some people think that shoes really are just a stand-in for everything else. So either Sa'asali called Sarki is because shoes are so important, or because they're just the end, and that's where they are kol, or they're not that important, which is why you just swallow it up with everything else. Most of them, I do think, point to the importance of shoes per se. But as we saw, some people say shoes really stand in for other things. And that is the Bracha of Sa'asali Sarki. Even those 4 pages, it really was pretty straightforward. So, subscribe.